Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
Oh, it's fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
All right, time for another episode of Unchained with Patrick Royce. Patrick, still in Florida. But let's start with the Gopher basketball team. Your thoughts, sir, on hated Louisville and the Gophers.
Does the NCAA, which loves to do this kind of stuff, really think this is a romantic story that Richard Pitino is playing against his father, his disgraced father's former team? I don't know about that one. You know, they like to manipulate stuff to get a conversation piece going, but I don't know. Is Rick welcome in Des Moines with Louisville playing?
Yeah, you know what? We're about to find out.
I guess we are.
I like it.
He's already won his Greek championship over there, so he's in the States, right?
Yeah, you're probably right.
This is a team they can beat, though. Louisville, since February 2nd or 3rd, they're 3-7. Now, they lost to some good teams, but their only two wins are Notre Dame, which is terrible.
Yep.
And they beat them twice, and they beat Clemson, which is didn't make the tournament either. So it was all the bottom rung. And I love it when people say, yeah, but look who they lost to. Okay, but they lost to all of them. You know,
I saw the tweet back to you from somebody.
Yeah, but they lost to all of them. I mean, Syracuse is not like this basketball machine, I don't think they're very good. So I think the Gophers got a 50-50 shot against them. I bet the point spread isn't over 2 or 3. I haven't looked yet. But they got a shot. And, you know, the pressure's off. After they beat Penn State, the pressure was off, and they beat Purdue. And then, of course, they didn't have anything left for the next game. But
your guy Jelly got to play, Pat. We finally saw the reemergence of Jelly.
So now they can't. How come nobody's written that story? Why don't we get the story of why he isn't playing? I mean, what's wrong with asking somebody and getting an answer?
I can't help you there. I don't know.
I mean, we came up with some phony injury about a month ago when he stopped playing him. But
the Indiana
he's
game,
played,
yes.
He's played since then. And, I mean, you don't have any bench, and he's still not playing? So I think when you're the most notorious recruit we've had since I don't know who. Daryl Mitchell in 1980 or whatever it was, and we're not hearing anything about why he doesn't play. Somebody's giving him a free pass, I'll tell you that, on why that's not a story. I don't have any idea.
It's never good when you're being subbed into a game with guys that we've never heard of.
Yeah.
That's basically what happened.
You got the Rude or whatever.
That's the guy I've never heard of in my life until that game.
He was a good college high school player, but he was just one of those guys who decided to go to school and actually pursue a degree and not make basketball a secondary thing in his life instead of going to a D2 or D3 school.
And so, God bless him.
Yeah, he's one of those few. One of the few that he stuck around the program and done that. But they certainly, I tell you what, what's the deal with Stockman? Because as thin as they are, he gives them some defensive help if you're against a big team, and him having he got a concussion, right?
Yes.
Purdue win. So.
Yes, he did. And don't forget, though, it's Rick who told Richard, you got to play that Stockman more.
Yes, yes, he did. And then I looked it up, and he played him a total of 300 minutes in 3 years, by the way. As I said, they must not have been in trouble too often. He says, when you're in trouble, go to Stockman. They must not have been in trouble too often because, let's see, 90-some, probably 100 games, more than 100 games, and he played 300 minutes. So he averaged about 3 minutes a game. So I think Rick is a little full of BS, but I guess we've already found that out. But anyhow, Murphy and Coffey decided to carry this team to the NCAA tournament, and they did that.
So. And I think in the Big Ten tournament, Coffey played every minute of every game until they were finally being blown out by Michigan.
Mm-hmm. And now,
and they had no choice.
And now, of course, the word is that this is good. The Gopher line now is this is good for the, the fans line. This is good that they got, because it gives them a chance to rest for the game here. Do you think getting to the Big Ten title game and playing a close game in the Big Ten title game is better for the program than a day of rest? I think it would have been.
Oh, just a little bit. Yeah, just a wee little bit.
Yes, that's true. But he certainly must have given up on the hurt kid, huh? Because he's not, because all of a sudden the brother doesn't play either, huh?
No. In fact, who wrote this? I saw a
Sidney wrote that. Yeah. The kid's gonna be a graduate transfer to
his brother's school,
wherever ends up going.
Now that's a smart move.
Sure, and they won't even have to give him a scholarship. I mean, I'm sure he'd just show up as a graduate transfer and enjoy his life season. And Kansas was supposed to be the front runner on him, but I'm not sure if that's still the case or not because everybody's been in.
Didn't Coach Cal come to a game recently?
Cal's come to a game. Kay's come to a game. He's probably, the Dukies. I don't think the Dukies were hot on him early, but they're hot on him now.
So. And I believe in your Patrick Plus, you wrote this on Sunday, and it's so true, though. How far Minnesota high school basketball has come.
Oh, yeah.
From what we were 30 years ago when we might add a kid or two. That's fine. But now
we'd get about five a decade. Now you get eight per class, 8-10 big recruits per class. It is astounding how good it's gotten. And, this Suggs kid is going to be third or fourth best player in the country, according to that class. So he's rated there. That's actually bad for the Gophers. the Gophers, the bad news was we didn't have a lot of players. The good news was nobody wanted them but the Gophers for a lot of years.
Yeah, so we took them. You're right.
Yeah, Wisconsin and them. Wisconsin ended up, the Wisconsin kind of takes that secondary kid, and that Reaver's cousin has turned out pretty good for them, and Davidson actually hasn't had too good a year and a bad year pub-wise for his fondness for tripping people and the like, and he hasn't shot the ball nearly as well. But they always get those two Minnesota white kids, don't they?
And that's what Wisconsin does in football and basketball, too. They're brilliant at finding those secondary kids, but they've got their system, and it seems to work.
Yeah, this basketball season has surprised me. I mean, when the Gophers went over there and beat them and they looked terrible and they were playing terrible and they'd lost 5 out of 6 or something, not all in the Big Ten. And I said, boy, this guy might get himself fired. And they end up, what are they, 6 seed?
Five or six seed, I think.
Yeah, end up and they get... They didn't give him a cupcake, though. They gave him somebody.
Oh, I've got the whole thing right here. If you got a second,
I don't know. I'm refusing to fill out a bracket this year. I paid so little attention that, but it is amazing how they still put the screws to the really good mid majors. This Belmont team played a tough schedule, played a bunch of good teams. They don't win their league, so they end up throwing them in the Dayton game. It's this whole quad system has been developed just to make it even harder for the mid-major runner-ups to get a bid to a tournament.
Well, we got the quad and the net now, the net ranking and the
net
quad
rankings
system.
Based on the quads and the top 50. If you're in the top 50 teams, it's a quad one win.
Yes.
Nebraska, which lost what, 10 in a row or something, yes, remained a quad one win.
I think your guy's in big trouble, and you refer to that a month ago. I think Tim Miles is done. When the AD comes out after they get done in the Big Ten tournament and says we're going to wait for the NIT to play out, you're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah, he knows it. I mean, and then a month ago he said, well, if I do get fired, I'll still be a millionaire, which is his kind of quip. You know, if you know him, he says goofy stuff and has fun, and he was having fun, but people got all upset about it, you know, that like he was flaunting his wealth and he was just making fun of basically of himself, and but they got all upset about that. Yeah, he's done it in Nebraska because they actually, you know, they got the new arena down there that's a city arena, but they got a new arena, new facility, the whole thing, and they went backwards this year, so goodbye.
People need to calm down. Patrick, that's the problem. People need to have a sense of humor.
The look to be offended is astounding. That's for sure. You know, the University of Minnesota, we got to change the names of all these buildings because in the 1920s, these guys, went along with a campus that was fairly well segregated. You know, well, yeah. That's life. That was, you can't be held. You can't be, 100 years later, you can't be held to current standards, but that's what they want to do.
They're doing it now, exactly.
Yeah, it's true. Luckily, there's nothing in my past I have to worry about.
Just never, as long as you don't have a building named after you, or you run for office, you're absolutely fine. Now, if the U names, at the Royce Auditorium, we could have real problems. They could go back to the 70s and maybe dig some stuff
Sid.
Up.
I think they got stuff named after Sid. And we could expose a few politically incorrect comments we
you
heard
think?
If we wanted to.
You,
if we wanted to.
Against which race or gender would you like to go?
or just plain old white football players in the Viking locker room. We could come up with some stuff from there, too.
You think there's a certain former long snapper named Cullen Loeffler who might have a complaint?
I could say he could ruin Sid's career at age 99 and get all those names all right. taken off all those buildings.
I believe that you asked this question on the show last week, and it's a great question. So I open up my Star Tribune, page C2 on Sunday. And here's P.J. Fleck presenting Sid with a Golden Gopher football jersey, number 99, all right?
Yes.
So to your question, he's going to make 100.
Oh, yeah. So what are we going to do?
Are we going to do this? They supposedly had a big party. They supposedly had a big party for him at Murray's.
Yes.
Everyone gave him. So are we going to do this all over again?
Got to. We're going to have to do it again. Hell, yes, he's going to be 100. I said wait till 100.
No,
you
you're
know,
right.
I mean, say happy birthday, Sid, and then wait to 100 because he has no intentions of not making it. And then if he hits 100, then every time after that, do we have to do it again? 101, 102, I don't know.
I would have drawn the line. I would have said you're going to make it to 100.
Uh-huh.
So we'll celebrate it then. And when you keep going, which you inevitably will, we're just going to treat it as, another year.
The only thing that's ever going to get him is if he becomes the oldest person in America.
Yep.
Because whenever somebody gets that distinction, it doesn't seem like they last too long, like a couple of weeks, And then there's, everybody at the nursing home gets you a cake and you blow out the candles and that pretty much knocks you off and you only last a week or two. So only when Sid gets to be 114 and he's the oldest man in America would I start worrying about him.
Except for the fact he broke his hip, and as you said at the time, it kills everybody.
Everybody!
Nope.
Ex-Marines!
LaVell
Edwards,
coach.
Stormed the islands of the Pacific to rout the Japanese, the toughest, meanest-looking SOB that ever lived. He didn't last after he broke his hip.
Sid breaks his hip, undergoes surgery, comes out, and is at a press conference for P.J. Fleck a month later.
That's true. So, Gophers, they got a shot. They got a shot. I got an email or tweet from somebody upset that Michigan State and the Gophers are all in the same bracket. Sir, they don't put, just because they're all in Des Moines doesn't mean they're in the same bracket. Michigan's in a different bracket.
Oh, right, because they try and get you closer.
They want to draw some people, so. I don't think we're going to get a big turnout down there, Gopher fans, do you? A couple thousand, maybe?
3.5-hour drive, it's not too bad. It's supposed to be decent weather.
To watch these guys, though? I mean, Have they captured the imagination of the public?
Yeah, that's good. I you know what? I don't know. They definitely have not. If you have to drive to campus to watch them, but that does not put the sports fan base here beyond driving 3.5 hours to be like.
Are the Iowa Wild home playing a playoff game? You can make it a doubleheader.
You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Although
it's probably the same building, right? It's got to be the same building, right?
Oh, yeah, I would guess so, yeah.
Because you got the Iowa Wolves or the Iowa...
Yeah, so they had to route those and throw them out. So, yeah, you're right. They probably nobody home this weekend.
But the Minnesota sports fan will say, well, there's a game on campus tonight, but you know what? I'm not going to go.
But then
they'll say, Des Moines, it's only 3.5 hours.
Des Moines, let's go! Let's go to Des Moines.
Tell all your buddies, hey, I went to Des Moines. I'm a big Gopher basketball fan.
It's a disgrace that Ohio State made. The Gophers, you know, beaten Purdue twice the last 2 weeks. Okay, I can go along with that one. But Ohio State, they stunk for 2 months. For 2 months, they stunk. And they get to go to the tournament. It's ridiculous.
And they got to go because they knocked
off
Indiana, yeah.
Yeah, well, knocked off Indiana, which at one point lost 12 out of 13.
Hey, Pat, St. John's went. St. John's is
going.
Yeah,
oh, that's a disgrace, too. They're, what, 17 and 15, something
Yeah,
like
they're
that.
Not any good, yes.
We got to get a rule that if you're not 500 in your conference, you can't go. But that's not going to happen.
I'd go with that, yeah. That's not bad.
That's not going to happen because...
I'd go along with that.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. I mean, their goofs would be eliminated then, so... So, I don't know, but...
I still don't mind that rule.
This is the worst field in the history, though. Man, the bottom of it is terrible. I mean, the teams that, you know, this Gopher team in most years would not be in. At 9-11 in the conference, that you wouldn't get in. But the fact that, they made it easy. And, just because the bottom of it is so bad this year.
Yeah, well, and as we talked about the Pac-12's awful. I mean, it's a joke.
And
they
put Arizona State in, too, as a joke, too, right?
Yes.
They're the other 11 seed to play St. John's.
The Pac-12 probably deserved, in reality, what, one team?
Yeah, and I heard Billis and Greenberg talking how they didn't think Washington should be in, even though they went, 16-15-1 in the conference. He said, 'cause they didn't beat anybody.
Well, they lost to the Gophers,
they didn't
right?
Beat anybody? Yeah, they got beat by the Gophers. So, anyway, luck. And I'm not filling out a bracket this year. The hell with it. It's too brain. You know, you can't help but try to resist picking underdogs. You know, 13
right.
to beat four or stuff. And then when push comes to shove, you're just throwing darts at which one of the 13s is. Some 13's going to win, but what makes you think you're going to figure out which one it is? You know?
Is this the first time in a long time that you haven't done a bracket?
LaBelle's, I'm sure, out here hustling. That's LaBelle's. LaBelle had to get all his work done for the opening of the season because now he's got to spend the next 10 days worrying about the brackets. So.
At the cigar bar?
No, here. He runs the ballpark one. So.
Oh, no. I'm just saying he'll go to the cigar bar and work.
Not like the old days, though, when Puck did the one downstairs when you drew.
Mm-hmm.
You drew a team. I think everybody threw in 50.
Mm-hmm.
And Puck always wanted to win, and Puck would run it. So he'd pay you like three. If you got Duke, he'd give you like $400 for it. So, I don't know, 50 times 64, how much money is that? 3,000 something. And, by the time it was over, Puck had 4,000 invested to try to win 3,000. You know?
You know what? When you're rich, it doesn't matter. It's all about the pride of saying you won.
It's all about the pride of being the victorious yet. We got the Fighting Red Sox here today. And
Them.
Looked like they brought their first team. They had a terrible spring. Not that it makes any difference, but their pitching's been awful. And, they haven't used their guns too much. But and the Twins will get to see the A-squad today because the A-squad got rained out Saturday in Fort Charlotte. And
okay.
The Bombers went up to Dunedin yesterday, made the long, horrible trip to Dunedin.
It's my town.
That game was in the seventh inning, in the 4 o'clock. It was in the top of the seventh. It was there was one point where the bases were loaded, and the Twins threw 12 straight balls to walk in three guys. Romero walked two, and then some guy I never heard of.
I was watching it. Yeah, Sportsnet showed
and
it, and MLB picked it up.
And kicking it all over the place.
Romero had, the third baseman kicked one. Tyler Austin dived for one at first base and missed it. Yeah, it was ugly.
Tyler Austin, man, what are they going to do? He hits a home run every game. Hit one over the batter's eye.
So did our guy Park that one spring training, and I don't know that convinces these guys. Now, I think they'll keep him, but I don't know what convinces these guys that you belong in the big league roster.
Well, I think because they might open with only 11 pitchers, they might keep him, and then, and try to figure out what's happening here. Austin Dio's on the team. I heard that, so that gives them three catchers.
It's because you threatened to protest.
Well, that too, but I heard for other reasons too. They just like him. They, he can play a little over here, there, come up and.
Yep.
I think they like the idea of having a pinch hitter. It's you can say you want everybody. The traditionally you've always wanted that pinch hitter who can hit a three-run homer, but I think they think it's more realistic to have a pinch hitter who can hit a nice two-out single to drive in a run. Yep. And that's Austin Dio.
Plus, he keeps things loose.
Oh yeah,
that helps. I think they learned that last year.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have Lomo and Lance Lynn griping about their plight in life.
Yes, they turned it into a terrible clubhouse, and that's I think one reason they haven't. Now I think Keuchel's probably a pretty good personality, but this Kimbrel is a grump. I hear from all reports he was complaining when he was getting the money he thought he deserved. So. What the hell is going on? What are they waiting for?
I was going to ask you that.
For?
No, that's what I was going to ask you. Because
take what's out there. Let's go.
Because Harper and Machado have signed now, we're not talking as much about this. But I was thinking about this yesterday. You're right. Kimbrel and Keuchel are sitting out there. We're a week away from opening day.
Yeah. It's too late now. What are they going to wait till?
I don't know.
June or what? I mean, I don't get it. I guess. What's the deal? If you turn down a qualifying offer.
Yep.
Then you can't come back to the
till June 1st,
team,
I believe.
June 1st,
yeah.
Because
that's what Lynn did to the Cardinals, and actually ended up getting less, I think, from the Twins than what the qualifying offer was from St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Oh yeah, I don't blame either of those guys for not taking the qualifying offer, but it was there.
Yes.
You could be making 17.8 in pitching, but this idea that Kimbrel's so upset he might sit out the year, does he think that's going to then increase his value?
I don't know. I have no clue what he's doing.
You can't make him.
I don't know.
You can't make him sign somebody. There's nothing that management can do. The reason Kimbrel and Keuchel are not signed is does not have anything to do with the fact they'd have to give up a draft choice. It's the money they want. It's the money,
Yep.
There's probably going to be something done in the next negotiation about having the, qualifying offer. But why would baseball want to get rid of that? Why would the players want to get rid of the qualifying offer? By the time they're negotiating again, it'll be $19 million.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm, a Dozier or somebody hoping to get a qualifying offer. I didn't get it. He didn't get it. But, a lot of them should consider, a lot of the 32-year-olds should just consider taking it if they get it.
We are headed for a strike, I still think.
Yeah, it's,
Or a lockout.
I think it's 50-50. I think Tony Clark could be out before they.
I don't think Tony's real effective, Pat.
No, I think Tony could be out.
And didn't Fair come back? Now I think he's still the hockey guy, but didn't he come back in some type of consulting role for MLB PA? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but here's my problem. What are you striking? You can't have a strike saying you have to give 32-year-old guys as much money as they thought they were going to make.
You know what they got a strike for? They got a strike to get free agency down from 6 years, which it's been at since free agency started in 70, whatever.
Yeah, probably five, yeah. And also, one thing they're trying to do is get rid of that, keeping the guy stuck in the minors till,
Guerrero's kid.
From being a super two.
Yes.
Keeping him from being a super two is ridiculous. So, but that's, but you still can't get somebody to give a 33-year-old Adam Jones a lot of money, right?
Yes.
You can't make anybody pay him if they think he strikes out too much and he's not the player he used to be. You can't say, he thought he was going to make $80 million, so he should get it. You can't do that.
Right, but being able to sit on a player for 6 years then is ridiculous. If I'm a player, I want freedom after 3 or 4.
Oh, well, you're not going to get that.
No, but that's why I think there's going to be some type of strike
five.
Or work stoppage.
They might get 5, but they're not going to get. They're not going to get it. They're not going to get it after 3 or 4.
How about your guy, Angel Hernandez?
What a beauty.
This A.J. Hinch thing. And Hinch gets suspended for a spring training game, which he should send Angel flowers for getting suspended. But
so
this
Angel,
is great.
He complains about the first pitch or what? He got thrown out after one pitch, right?
Evidently, A.J. Hinch said between innings before he was ejected, he basically told Angel, you're missing some things. There's tools to help you. Why don't you take those tools and get the help that could help, make you better? And then, I guess, so he was upset that his pitcher, in his mind, had not gotten some strikes called. So then I think the first Astros hitter comes up and gets an immediate strike called on what's a ball. And so Hinch barks at Angel at that point, and that's when he tosses
Angel
him.
Intentionally calls it a...
Correct.
So to get Hinch to yell at him so he can throw him out of the game.
Correct.
But Angel's got him so afraid because of his lawsuit about being improperly improperly dealt with because he's a minority that they're afraid to just do what they should do and fire him because he's an idiot.
Yes.
And, that's old-time umpiring there where you figure out a way to get revenge on a guy.
Yes.
And then baseball to suspend Hinch, it's showing what a bunch of gutless cowards they are and how afraid they are of Hernandez, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's incredible that in this game, which is now supposedly enlightened, right? We've got analytics and we've got all these ideas. Has this, as you said, this idiot, this buffoon running around ejecting a manager in spring training?
Yeah, he's after one. Yeah, and loves and defiantly looks over there and loves the opportunity to throw him out of the game. Yeah, and baseball ends up suspending the other guy. That's, baseball is, they're run by clowns. They really are. I mean, every time they change a rule to, we're going to have replays on a lot more stuff. And as I say, the guy's toenail comes off a base and they call him out. And, they had it going there for a while where if a guy was 30 feet from home plate and the guy blocked the home plate, you're going to call him safe. When he was basically jogging past him, they're idiots. They just do so many, they always do stuff without considering what the ramifications are, what the reality of it's going to be.
Yes.
They got senile old Joe Torre still making decisions. Ridiculous.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. Mm-hmm. They are clowns.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, guys like Angel Hernandez, though, is the reason you might end up with an electronic strike zone. So you don't have to mess with them.
Yeah. Right, but to the point that you brought up before, why don't you just fire him, pay him to go away? Instead, they're, as you said, they're afraid of him, and so he's out there.
He probably knows that, the smartest thing he did was file that lawsuit, which now has him terrified to do anything about him.
Hey, so Pat, what's your feeling on the Twins? Because there's more and more, it seems like, growing national momentum, at least, that they have a real chance to win this division.
I don't know where that's coming from. I really don't. I mean, the lineup's okay, but I talked last year. Okay, you don't have your third baseman. Gonzalez is a good player, but he's supposed to be your extra player. Mm-hmm. Polanco's ordinary. Scope might not be ordinary. He might be below average. Crone is... I don't know. They're not going to probably be as good at first base as they were last year. Behind the plate, they're still going to play Castro a lot. He can't hit. And I like the outfield. I like the fact that Buxton looks better and Kepler looks better and Rosario looks better. DH Cruz, they're a little better with, certainly better with him. But the starting rotation. Martin Perez the other day, he's looked good this spring. The other day he looked horrible. He got pounded. Pineda looks to me like he's, I know he's a huge man, but he looks like he's too huge. And he was huffing and puffing after 3 2/3 the other day. Odorizzi's a mediocrity. And so Berríos and Gibby, the starting rotation is not top 20 in Major League Baseball, I don't think. Do you?
No.
Yeah. So
not right now. Not as a whole.
And the bullpen is, you know, what do you see in the bullpen that makes you think it's better than it was? I just don't see it. I don't know why people are talking optimistically about them, because I think they look at the Central and say, well, the White Sox are terrible, the Royals are terrible, and the Tigers are terrible, and we got to suggest, and because Cleveland is downsized,
that's it.
We got to come up with somebody, but this team has got a fighting chance to be 78 and 84 again, I think. I'm not, obviously, not knowing what was going to happen with Buxton and Sano, although I wasn't optimistic about Sano when I saw him waddle into camp last year. But I was much more optimistic last year than I am now, which is probably good for the Twins, because
yes.
When you think they're going to be pretty good, they stink. And when you think they stink, they've been okay. You know, the 2015, 2017, look, going into those seasons, you thought, oof-da. And, they ended up winning, 84 and 85? So now 85 is not going to get you in the playoffs again. That ain't happening. So like it did in 2017. But, I don't know. You know, I don't think it's hopeless. But, you got to see what they got here. Perez and Pineda are in the rotation, and there's nobody pushing them. Gonsalves is... he was supposed to be a hot thing, and he's still a lob baller, and they don't really have other options to those guys. So I don't know. Trevor May hasn't looked that good this spring. I thought maybe he'd help in the bullpen. He might be okay, but there's nothing to get terribly optimistic about, I don't think.
How's Buxton look since the hot start? And
only
homered a couple days ago.
He's okay. He's been fine. He's taking a hack. You know, he's going to strike out some, but... I like the fact that he's striking out and trying instead of check swinging at a ball that's out in the other. To me, check swings are a big indicator, and I haven't seen too many from him. He's going after the ball. And he doesn't have quick hands, but he's just getting started quicker. And, he's going to get fooled on some pitches, but he's going to have a better year, I think. He's going to have a better year.
I hope he has a better
Jonathan
year.
Jonathan could have a better year than he had last year. But
could you, Jonathan? Could you really have?
Yes, he could hit over 180. But but Buxton.
He's hedging his bets.
Yeah, he's going to be the best he's been as a Twin. For a season. Okay,
so consistency.
Like 2 years ago, it was he had the good last 2 months, and then came back last spring and looked terrible. And I think last spring he was trying to defend something. You know, he was trying to defend those last 2 months to make them look like reality instead of being confident that what he'd done those last 2 months that he'd carry over. It was like he was working so dang hard to find it again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this spring, he's not trying to find anything. He's just hacking. And I like that better.
And he's not taking the advice of every fan in the stands. And
no,
he's not
he's
putting.
Not,
see, that's what I
have,
that's what
have,
I wanted.
He doesn't have Torrey Hunter telling him a leg kick and
yeah.
six other guys. He's,
that was his
he's,
problem.
People are upset that I saw that he said, I don't need anybody to tell me how to hit. And they thought that was really stupid. Well, I'm glad he said that. You know, I'm glad he said that I'm going to hit the way I want to
hit. Who's upset
hit.
About that? That's the smartest thing he could say. He listened to too many people.
Yes, he did. And, the panic. And you know, but he's going to have those games where he has two games, six strikeouts, and eight at-bats. But he'll strike out, but he's going to be a better player.
Hey, the one thing I saw on TV in Sunday's game, this Kirilloff is going to be for real.
Oh, yeah, he can hit.
Whew.
Yeah, he can hit. He's probably going to be their first baseman next year, from what I hear. If it depends on Kepler. You know, if Kepler,
okay,
if Kepler's good, then Kirilloff will probably. It'll be interesting to look at the box scores to see if he starts playing first base in Double A some of the time. You know, they'll keep him in the outfield too, but he might play some first base. And people tell me he's pretty good over there. So. But, yeah, he's – I know because of Sano and Buxton, when you say, oh, man, they got this kid on the way, look out. Well, you know, you got Kirilov and Lewis, and I think Lewis would be a good player, but I have no doubts about Kirilov. I got doubts about Royce Lewis only because I don't think that swing of his is 100%, you know.
Right.
But this kid's swing is 100%.
So, yes.
You know, he's going to be a player. He's going to be a hitter, and that to me is, you know, all that really matters is if he can hit or not, because it is the hardest thing to do in baseball, and they spend all their time now in analytics. As Falvey told us the other day, analytics and pitching are way ahead of analytics in hitting. So everything they're doing here with these machines and everything is to make pitching even better, which of course makes hitting even tougher.
Oh, that's just great to hear. Thanks. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you shared that. I can't wait for pitching to dominate more.
Yeah, well, they're analyzing.
Hey,
taking
I got
away
a question for you.
Guy's bad pitch. And,
I got a question for you.
Yes.
So when is the sport, when are the great minds of this sport going to take a second and realize, when are we going to start to get or develop or try and find more guys who can put balls in play? Because
I think we're
and by that I mean spray the ball. Don't try and hit home runs. Balls in play. By that I mean spray the ball around to beat these shifts and actually get guys on base, as opposed to this notion that if I don't hit a home run, I might as well strike out.
Yes. Well, we're getting a little away from that. Although the Twins seem to be going in the other direction with all the power that they have added. But I asked Falvey about that the other day when I was talking to him. I said, are you changing the way you instruct hitters because of the shift? And he said they indeed are spending some time trying to get the guy to take the pitch on the outer half the other direction.
Good.
And, of course, we have a whole – we got two generations of Twins fans who think the worst thing Tom Kelly ever did was try to convince – David Ortiz to hit the ball to left field, and people think that means he didn't want him to pull the ball and hit home runs. He didn't want him to pull the ball if it was on the outside third, okay? And, you know,
yes.
Big Poppy can complain about Kelly forever and ever, but he also hit 200 doubles off the wall in Fenway when he played there, you know, on the pitch outside. Then that's, you know, it was never anybody with the Twins saying, don't pull the inside pitch and hit a home run, Big Poppy, hit it the other way. Hit it the other way was on the pitch that was away that you're going to hit on the ground to second base, right?
Yes.
So, and that's, you know, I mean, I think the Logan Morrison era is over, okay? The guy that they, you know, tries to hit the ball over the shift or through the shift, there still are those guys, but I think there's going to be less and less of them. They are trying to get these guys to realize. Now the trouble is they're throwing 98, and you got to read the pitch, and say, okay, that's on the outer half. I better not try to pull it into the shift. But if you're going to see Rod, you're not going to see Rod Cruz. You know, you're not going to see guys that
right,
you know, take it that way like that. But they. They contend they are working guys like Kirilov and those guys to, you know, hit the pitch that should be hit the other way. And the thing about him is a guy like Sano, I've always said, why is he up there trying to pull everything? Because he's so damn strong. If he gets the ball on the outer half and he doesn't even get, you know, even if he gets there a little late, he's going to hit it out of the park, right?
Yes.
There's more guys that can hit the ball out in right center than ever, but they're still trying to pull the ball to the left and vice versa. Of course, the shift is killing left-handed hitters, not right-handed hitters.
All right, sir, it's time. Unchained.
Unchained.
What do you got down there in Florida that's bothering you?
What am I bothered about down here in Florida? Well, been cloudy for 4 days. Is that worth complaining about?
I mean, it's getting nicer. It's supposed to be in the 50s this week, so I guess maybe.
I guess what I'm complaining about is that they have, because of their unwillingness to take 8 games off the schedule, they are basically sending teams out of here on March 25th to go home and play baseball. They're ruining, you know, they're starting spring training too early. They're ending it too early. They're starting the season too early. Just those four home games that each team would lose are not the difference between making money and losing money. They got millions of extra money coming in through baseball, Major League Baseball, advanced media. Get rid of eight games. Keep spring training going till the end of March. Don't open at home till April. Don't open baseball till April 3rd. And, you know, come on. Let's stop being idiots here.
And, so 154?
Yeah, 154. It's a nice number, and it worked for it worked from 1901 to 1960, so it can work again. And if the players indeed are going to, you know, whine about wanting more time off during the season, then that's the way to go about doing it. And maybe then tell the players, okay, by the way, we would have offered you this much, but we're going to offer you 3% less because we got more home games. Oh, we don't have as many home games as they have. So that's I guess that's my irritation is that, you know, my other irritation is you know, not only Angel Hernandez, but everybody else. You got spring training games going on. You got umpires that won't call strikes. Come on, let's go. Let's stop being an idiot. Let's get ready for the season and try to get these guys to swing the bat, right?
Yes.
Young umpires have got tighter strike zones than older umpires, and that's a little frightening, isn't it?
Yes, that's not a good thing for fans like us who want the game to actually end in an orderly, timely fashion.
And, of course, the other thing I'm upset about is that the Wild, that was a bad overtime loss yesterday because we really need to make that last playoff spot because I think we got a shot to make a run with this lineup.
Now you're just trying to bother me.
With this high-scoring lineup we've now got.
We started Stahl and Parisi and Suter in OT, and I'm going to tell you right now it didn't work out very well.
We looked a little slow. How long did it take them?
That was a beer. That, honest to God, looked like a beer league threesome out there. It was like the Islanders were playing three guys from a beer league.
My guy Andres Lee looked pretty good.
Yes, he's very good.
He's got a bunch of goals, right?
Yes.
In high 20s.
Yes.
Or something.
That's a nice team. They play a very defensive style and they block a ton of shots, but Barry Trotz has done a hell of a job.
Garth Snow gets fired just when his 12 years of building the roster has paid off, right?
Amen. Yes. All right. Positive Pat.
Positive Pat. Hey, Gophers are going to beat Louisville and you're all going to be happy. That's Positive Pat.
Care to elaborate on what's, I mean, coffee's going to carry him?
Louisville's not that good. Gophers, you know, they're playing loose now. They got two really good players, Coffey and Murphy. They got a nice starting five. They have no bench.
Yeah, they don't.
But
Matz, you know what? Matz is going to come in, though. He's going to come back from his concussion.
Hey, Matz will block a few shots. And, you know, why were we hiding Matz all year, by the way?
Rick asked his kid. Why aren't you playing this guy?
Yeah, right.
He's like,
right.
I could bench him, but you shouldn't bench him.
That's, I guess the other thing is I hope Rick shows up so we can all, and then the whole storyline can be, you know, poor Richard have to be embarrassed because his old man's there.
That's got to be the committee's goal, right? When you pit those two teams, right? The committee's goal has to be we're betting that Rick
the
will
Rick's
show
in
up.
The stands,
that's
so got to
be the goal.
They'll show so they can keep showing.
Yeah,
Rick
CBS can show them
in the stands.
Yes,
yeah. And the Louisville fans are the Louisville fans. Did they turn on Rick, by the way, or do they still believe in him? I don't know.
I just know
this
that Rick...
coach, you know, is that Chris Mack who was coaching Xavier when they beat Tubby in 2010.
I saw your tweet about that. Yes,
yes, yes. Still very hair challenged, just like he was then. All right. So yes, and that's. I guess I think they can beat Louisville. I don't think Louisville is very good.
Oh, one last thing. Your guy Motzko got screwed.
Oh, I guess.
Did you see the penalty?
Terrible.
Did you see it?
No. I saw everybody outraged about it.
It was awful. Sheehy basically brought his
brought the guy's stick up and they called
a little bit. Just a little. Yeah. He lifted his stick and they called the penalty and Notre Dame gets the power play and scores.
But that's okay.
Motzko was livid and he was right to be.
That's
good.
Okay. We got three number one seeds from Minnesota. Who needs the Gophers? UMD, St. Cloud, Mankato could all be number one seeds.
You know what? There's Positive Pat. There's Unchained. Starting now, Trolling Pat. We got to get your troll of the week, and that was just it.
Yeah, well, I already
your troll
said
of the week.
Very dominant year for Minnesota College hockey.
Division I Minnesota hockey has never been in better
never
shape.
Never been better. Never been in better shape. That's right. Mankato, St. Cloud, and UMD don't have to worry about the officials. They go out and win games.
All right. We'll see. Talk to you next week.
We'll see you next week.
All right. Bye.